Milo's Pro Rewards members. Save big during Lowe's Pro Savings Days. Get your member volume discount, plus an extra 5% off eligible orders with a quote of $2,000 or more. And buy more and save more with up to 20% off in-stock molding when you spend $250 or more. Members get more at Lowe's. Valid through 7/31. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Can't be combined with any contract or special pricing. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit the Pro Desk or Lowe's.com/terms for more details. Subject to change.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut, be an artist, be an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today on The Grave Talks, shadow entities and sleep paralysis. A conversation with author Gemma Jade. Get ready for a journey into the unknown, one that might leave you wondering if something will visit you in the dead of night. Today, we dive into the eerie world of sleep paralysis and shadow entities with author and paranormalist Gemma Jade, discussing her book, Shadow Entities, Sleep Paralysis, and Beyond. We talk about the terrifying intersection of science and the supernatural, uncovering whether these encounters are nothing more than tricks of the mind, or if dark entities from other realms are preying on those most vulnerable in the night. Are these terrifying episodes merely brain malfunctions, or do shadow entities and sleep demons truly exist, waiting to feed off your fear? Before dismissing them as fantasy, hear the evidence, because the next encounter might happen to you. Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation with author Gemma Jade about her book, Shadow Entities, Sleep Paralysis, and Beyond. So, Gemma, thank you so much for being back on the show. You were on a while back, and our episode was called Encounters with Black-Eyed Kids, and it was so interesting. I had the best conversation with you that day. If people have not listened to that episode yet, go back and do, because you gave me so much to think about.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And yeah, I had a really great time. I love talking about anything having to do with the paranormal, but the Black-Eyed Kids are, I mean, they've been an obsession of mine for so long. So anytime I can talk about them, I'm happy to do it.
How did you even get interested in diving into the paranormal as an author and really researching different things? That came to you when you were really young, right? Your experiences?
Yeah, my first memories of paranormal experiences or experiences with spirit is the usual for mediums and anybody else who's really had lifelong experiences. They always say like at 4 or 5. I just believe that's when our memories start developing. And that's when we start really remembering things. I feel like it's more than likely been lifelong for me, just encountering, the dead and spirit and all types of entities and beings. Never a BEK, but definitely shadow people.
And it's interesting to me with our Real Ghost Stories show, we've had so many stories over the years about shadow people and about sleep paralysis. And so the book that you wrote, Shadow Entities, Sleep Paralysis, and Beyond, really caught my eye, because I'm like, aha, this is both those things that we talk about all the time. Once I read the book, there's so many examples that you give that fall under the shadow entities umbrella, for lack of a better term, because it's not just one. There seems to be multiple types of shadow entities, would you say?
Yeah, definitely more than is even in that book. I mean, a lot of the time, if I go into someone's house on an investigation into what's, you know, haunting them, most time people think there's something demonic, but it's usually what it is, or shadow beings. And a lot of the time it'll be an earthbound spirit that is presenting itself in shadow or as like a demonic entity or as a shadow person so that it'll instill fear and be left alone. So there's also that aspect to it. I also believe, you know, extraterrestrials, some of them are such light beings, so high vibrating that when they're here in the third dimension, they can't appear in anything other than shadow. They're just too bright for our world. So it could literally be anything and everything. And I feel like that is why the phenomenon is not only so popular, but also so very confusing to the witnesses or victims.
Now, you've had experience, personal experience with shadow people, correct?
Yes, yes, I definitely have.
And it's kind of been throughout your entire life since you were 4 years old. And I do agree with you. I think a lot of that is when we do start to remember things. You know, I think when you're 2-3 years old, you don't remember that. But at four, that's about the age we start having memories.
Mm-hmm. So my fourth birthday is my first ever memory of communicating with a spirit. Now, I didn't realize it was a spirit until like I was 12, but it was my grandfather who had passed before I was a couple months after I was born. So I was about 3 months old. And I just remember when my mom pulled out a picture of him for the first time, I was like 12. Or I guess it was the first time I really noticed that it was the person I was speaking to at my fourth birthday party. And that's the first memory of spirit that I have. But shadow entities, I have not had good experiences with them. Mainly, they would try to compel me to harm myself. I would be overcome or stricken with the desire to, you know, run and jump in front of 18-wheelers driving by. And it would take a lot of strength not to do these things. As a young kid, when I was 9 and 10 years old, I'd be out playing with my friends. And all of a sudden I would go and just start running. Like I could have died, you know, biting into wires or things like that. And I want to say right up front, even in my adult life, I've been examined for any sort of mental illness. I keep a close watch on that because of a lot of what I do experience and go through. I have no mental health diagnosis at all, except some anxiety. So I was, you know, when I was younger, growing up with an Irish Catholic father, he was very afraid of my abilities and my experiences. So I had to really keep them close to my chest. You know, I really couldn't talk about them. But shadow beings definitely tormented me for most of my young life.
I could see this going two ways with you. And I think the way I would have gone would be they're tormenting me and scaring me. I never want to talk about them or pursue this or research them. You, on the other hand, really did. You researched them. You've written books. You know, you've really dove into that. Is it because did you kind of feel like you didn't have a choice? Like this was the path you were on?
Well, there were a few reasons. One of the things was I was seeing how so many people in the community, in my YouTube channel, I called them my gemstones, how many of them were suffering from experiences with these beings and or just dealing with a lot of confusion surrounding them. But also I was like, you know what? Nobody else is really talking about this. I know Heidi Hollis was kind of the original person to bring it to the forefront and write a couple books, but it's really not discussed at length. You can find some articles and stuff. I didn't find anyone to really put in the research and that had the personal experiences. And I felt like I not only had to do it for them, but yeah, also for myself. I thought maybe I'll get some answers as to why they tend to torment. It's not just me. So many other mediums I know, even Amy Allen mentioned it in one of the episodes of The Dead Files, that they used to also try to compel her to do things. And once she almost died because she had not been able to overcome the compulsion to bite into wires. And I remember that exact moment watching that show was when I was like, okay, it's not just me. And I really wonder why. Now, I never got that answer, but I did get a lot of answers in my research and in looking into other people's experiences and the history kind of these beings or entities.
And you did just bring up something about the research and talking to other people, which makes me think then maybe you do find community and that there is comfort in knowing you're not alone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's such a comforting thing. I live with a total and complete non-believer, kind of like, it's almost a little weird, but kind of like my dad was, where as long as I'm not mentioning any of it, I'm good. So I actually got on YouTube looking for that community and I found it. So it does feel good to not feel alone and to have a place where I can go and be like, guys, you're not going to believe what happened to me, because I don't mention it at home because it makes him so incredibly uncomfortable that I don't ever want to be the reason that someone's uncomfortable. Even people in my family who like are scared, I don't talk about it with them. You know, I respect people's boundaries when it comes to the supernatural and the paranormal. And that's another reason I think a book was a great idea, because people can choose whether or not they want the information.
You know, Gemma, they say we're attracted to men like our dads. And
I know, that's why I was like, it's so weird, but it is true. He's a couple years older than my dad. And in that way, he is much like him, very closed off. And, you know, some people are like that. It's not that they don't have experiences. It's that they're so closed off, they don't notice the experiences. Because people ask me all the time, they're like, yeah, but Gemma, how come, you know, I'm open, I'm always seeing things, or you know, I've always had this entity or that one, and the person that I live with or my friend or whoever, you know, they've lived with me and never had an experience, or they never saw what I was seeing. And that could make someone think they're going crazy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, to be the only one in a room of five people and you're the only one that is seeing or sensing something, some people just aren't meant to experience it. It's part of their journey. It's part of their path. I believe they charted in. You know, they're just so closed off. It doesn't mean they're, again, not experiencing it. It just, I remember my stepfather said to me, I won't believe in spirits until one taps me on the shoulder and is like, yo, I'm a spirit. You've got to believe in me. He's like, and then I might consider it. You know, there are just people whose minds work that way.
When I was reading the book right off the bat, you said something that kind of surprised me, because I think that you are so brave by pursuing like diving into this. And it said, you have a lifelong and irrational fear of the dark. And I was like, even Gemma gets afraid of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that true? You really have always been kind of afraid of the dark?
Well, what's in it, you know, because ever since, as long as I can remember, there's always been something. There's something in the closet. There's something under the bed. There's a dead person that wandered in. So, yeah, I've always been afraid of the dark, even just in sensing things, because it wasn't something I could talk about. So, you know, I wasn't able to say there's something in the closet, even when I physically saw it. The dark is really scary because mm-hmm. it's the absence of light. We can't see. And so many of us, especially nowadays, are light workers and empathic. And if we can't see something, we can definitely sense it. And it's very unnerving. Yeah, absolutely. Always. And still to this day, I sleep with the TV, like the Fire Stick on. So the TV has some brightness and a little nightlight.
I sleep with my door cracked open and light on in the kitchen. So there's always...
Girl, my door's got to be closed.
Yeah, and mine has to...
Well, I don't want anything like peeking an eye in. I look up and there's something look... Oh, no.
My sister and I were just having a conversation about that. And I'm like, but I have cats. And if I don't leave the door cracked open, they will meow to get in. So when you have cats, you don't have a choice. And you can also blame mm-hmm. a lot of weird things on cats. That's what I always say. Like,
but they'll also alert you mm-hmm. to a lot of what's going on. I used to have cats and kittens, and If I didn't sense something, they would right away. And then I would know to be on high alert. So, I mean, whatever works for you, whatever helps aid in that fear, because I just think it's an ingrained fear in humans in general, but particularly with people like us. And I do believe so many of us don't even realize we're light workers. We're on this quest for the truth and, you know, whatever helps. But yes, I do get scared of some things. The BEK are definitely a big thing. Shadow entities always were. Now I kind of walk by them as though I don't see them. I don't allow them in any interaction at all. And I do see them very often in my home and around my home, but I will completely and totally ignore them. And you know what? It seems to have worked for like the last 10 years. I have made no acknowledgement of them except verbally when I'm speaking about them. And I only do that when they're not around.
Let's kind of dive into, I want to talk about shadow entities. I want to talk about sleep paralysis because there is some common denominators between the two as well. But with shadow people, that would be kind of a blanket term. Shadow entities might be better, but I want to talk about some of what you talk about in the book, benign entities, the lurkers, hat men, the attackers, tricksters. You know, I think that in the Real Ghost Stories podcast we have encountered all of these that you talk about. We've had stories about all of them. So let's start with benign entities, because I kind of think I had an experience once, and that's kind of what I think it falls into that category. How would you describe the benign entity?
So the benign shadow entity is one that it doesn't really interact. And if it does, it's in a benign way. So there's really usually not even a feeling or sense of danger, except, you know, it's scary to behold these things. They seemingly just kind of go about their business, or they seem interested in you. But there's no lower vibrational interaction. They don't feel lower vibrational or evil or whatever. And they don't seem it. They're really not interacting in any negative or positive, really, type of way. They're kind of just there.
Because that's kind of what happened to me. I was just getting ready for work one morning in the bathroom, facing the mirror, and this thing just walked by the bathroom. And it was tall and dark and kind of not... You know, a lot of times people say darker than dark. I wouldn't say this was darker than dark. But I was like, what the hell was that? And so I step out of the bathroom. There's nothing there. So I'm like, was it just walking somewhere? What was it doing? I have no idea. Let's just say for the next couple of weeks after that, when I got ready for work, I shut the bathroom door. I was like, I don't know what the hell that was. It didn't really even scare me necessarily. Mm-hmm. Bothered me, yeah.
That's really a lot of people's reactions to the benign entities. It's jarring that you see something like that, but at the same time, there's no real... As human beings, we can almost primally sense a threat. And a lot of light workers, people like us in this community who are looking for answers, we usually sense that threat a lot quicker than someone like, say, my husband, who's more closed off to those types of energies. And there's no sense of that. It's just a fear of like, what the heck was that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that kind of anxiety around it. But there's nothing sinister that the being or entity itself is really emanating or seemingly up to.
But there does.
And those types of experiences are usually, they happen like once or twice. It's not like they're reoccurring and the same entity visits and visits and visits. This is usually a one or two off, and then the person goes about their life without ever encountering them again.
That's what happened to me. Like, I never saw that again. And I don't know what it was. You know, very tall.
Yeah, they're
like
usually
6'5".
Very, very tall.
Mm-hmm. And it moved in a way like it was walking. That's all I really know about it. And so when I stepped out into the other room and my dog started barking, I feel like he saw it too, or felt it, or whatever he experienced.
For sure.
It feels like there are just different, I don't know if they're related as shadow entities, you know, like one that we get a lot of stories about is the Hat Man, which I think so interesting. Why do so many people see this dark figure and they can tell it's wearing a hat? Frequently, they can tell it's wearing a coat, but they always mention the hat. And in my head, I always picture like an Abe Lincoln stovepipe hat.
Yes. And that usually is what it is like.
So what the heck? Why would there be any such thing as a shadow person that's like, I need to put on my hat? I always think that's so interesting.
And it's a little comical. So when I wrote the book a couple of years ago, my views have changed a little bit on the Hat Man. Even though in the book, I'm admittedly confused about it, just like everyone else. And I did that book with a real, like, really setting the intention and really putting it out there that I was on a quest for answers as well. Like, I wasn't going to be solving anything in that book, but I would do the best that I can to present accurate and, you know, true information. With the Hat Man, I always used to believe that perhaps this entity was some sort of leader of another form of shadow entity, a darker, lower vibrational form. So not like the benign ones or even the lurkers or the travelers. But in my research and through my experience in the last couple of years since the book came out, which is why I'm probably going to do another one, I believe the Hat Man is something altogether different than a shadow entity. I believe, as I said earlier, sometimes it's earthbound spirits. I don't know if it's one or many. I believe it's one at this point in my research that used to be human back in like the beginning of time and stayed earthbound and somehow either through sorcery or some kind of dark magic, for lack of a better way of saying that, ended up this immortal being. I do believe the Hat Man serves a lower vibration entity like a demon or a devil. And I believe that they, like the BEK and like some other shadow beings and like some extraterrestrials tend to be, they are after our fear, our terror. And that is what feeds the Hat Man. That is what he thrives off of. And I also feel like that is probably why a lot of the time he is with other lower vibrating types of shadow entities, but he doesn't necessarily do anything. The other entities will kind of get us worked up and fearful, and the Hat Man will stay behind in the background, kind of watching the situation. I don't know if it's like a training thing. And I, you know, to some people, this will sound ridiculous, but when you've been through and have experienced everything that I have, it makes perfect sense that if there's more than one, they're trained in how to do this type of thing. So he's very terrifying. He's always terrifying. I don't know that I know anyone who's encountered a Hat Man, whether his eyes were glowing red or not, that they were not absolutely terrified. Now, if it's just a shadow being wearing a hat walking past, say, your bathroom door, why the terror? It's the energy the entity is emitting. It wants you to be terrified of it, or we're just primally, innately terrified of it because it's evil or lower vibrational.
Now, I ain't gonna lie. That did scare me when something walked by. It wasn't like I was like, just kept on putting on my mascara. But it did scare me, but it wasn't that terror feeling.
Right.
And I have experienced terror feelings before, especially with sleep paralysis. We will talk about that in a few minutes. So to me, it's really interesting that they can be so different, because definitely we've had stories of people encountering shadow people where it was terrifying and really dark and scary. And other times it was like he just walked through, which was my case. So it does feel like they're different, that they're not the same.
Right. And you have to remember, too, there are so many, like I said, it could be extraterrestrials or interdimensionals or some otherworldly being, some otherworldly being that can't physically appear the right way hearing and can only show itself as a non-light form. Right. So there are so many different things that it is and that it could be. And that's why I don't think anyone will ever really pin it down. What this phenomenon is, because I think it's so many different things. I talked about that in the book and everything in the book. I definitely meant what I said, time travelers and possibly humans from the future or the past. I mean, there's so many different things. And I know for a fact, because I've seen it, that some beings can't fully form here. They can only form in shadow. See, I think it's the energy they give off. Like if you meet a person who's like not a good person, there are people that Ted Bundy say that's claim that they've met him. And even though he was charming and objectively handsome, they still got a weird feeling off of him. So they stayed away. Or the one lady left a date in the middle of a date with him, called her brother because she just felt there was something off. Some people can sense that and some people can't. And I feel like human beings in general, though, for the most part, can at least sense when something's off. So it can't be that we're just not sensing the offness or other of all of these different types of beings. Maybe they're not emitting anything that sets our internal alarms off because they're not here to harm us or they're not dangerous.
And just the vast number of stories, and I'm talking hundreds that we've gotten over the years on the Real Ghost Stories podcast. And it describes the whole gamut of them. And even in the book you address, they're not all tall. Like there's these short shadow entities that we just did a story recently about one of those. That we did another story recently about something that appeared in the dark, darker than dark, with red eyes. Mm-hmm. So all of the things that you mentioned in the book, we've had stories, multiple stories about each thing. So to me, that's an interesting, it's interesting that so many people who you don't know, they don't know each other, are writing in similar stories.
All independent of mm-hmm. one another. And the one thing I say to the skeptics who are like, yeah, it's very easy to like look on the internet and see what other people are saying. Okay, maybe some people do that for whatever reason. It's not like you become famous for seeing shadow people. But okay, say they did that. That's why I went out of my way in the book too to really focus on that this has been going on since the beginning of time for millennia. And we know that because of the jinn, right? At least
talk about the jinn.
So everybody independently of one another for millennia, all seeing and experiencing the same things, it just doesn't make sense. The jinn were it was very interesting to learn about them. Actually, the strangest thing that I thought about them was the fact that they're said to like be able to marry and procreate in some way. But I believe they're just like, again, I don't believe they are extraterrestrial life forms. I believe they're like some extraterrestrial life forms in that we are nothing more than food to them. And if they had it their way, they would just kill us off and take the planet over. But unfortunately, it's a symbiotic relationship and they need us in order to survive. And I feel like the fear and the torment, and I've spoken about this at length and a little bit in the book, where it's not only these lower vibrational, like the fear and the terror and the you know, those types of feelings. It's also sexual energy. There are a lot of people who experience something like a jinn or like a lurker while they're being intimate with their partner. That is the highest form of energy we give out is you know, intimate sexual energy. And then the lowest form would be fear and terror. So I feel like they really are feeding off of our energy and just sometimes getting us to the point of almost being drained. The jinn are a religious figure in some cultures, like the Muslim culture, but they also exist outside of that. It's not like you have to believe in them for them to be what they are or for them to come to you. It's just a fact that they exist. And it's said that on the day of judgment, or there will be a day of judgment for them where they can either apologize and, you know, get their light back, or they can continue wandering the earth as jinn, which is one of the reasons they're said to be able to come here and do this to us, even though we're light beings, is because eventually they'll have their day where, depending on what decision they make, they'll be sent back to wherever they came from, or they'll be able to move forward into their light. I don't know how true that is. They're not a part of my religion, so I only know what I research. But they're terrifying. I do believe they're like the masters of all shadow people. I believe they're the original shadow entities that you know, the ancient Egyptians and, you know, the ancient civilizations were seeing and experiencing, I believe, were Jinn. They're incredibly powerful. And I do feel like a lot of other different shadow people came from them, possibly their offspring, or just maybe they split off somehow. I don't really know how it works, but they are definitely the big daddy of shadow people for sure.
So not all shadow people really necessarily would feed off of your fear, but right. It does make some sense to me that something that comes to you in the middle of the night, why is it appearing in the middle of the night, looking into your closet? We just did a story about that yesterday when we were recording ghost stories about, there was, and my sister and I are all about the closets. It's like every closet everywhere, shut the door.
Yep.
But she saw something in the closet, dark and then dark, red eyes. She thought Grim Reaper, it's some sort of shadow person, but it was terrifying to her. So, you know, to me, like, why, if you're a shadow person, do you want to go hang out in somebody's closet other than to terrify that person?
Yep.
But when you said feeding off the energy in the book, I'm like, well, that makes some sense. Feeding off that fear.
Yeah, I mean, what else could it be? I mean, with the Black Eyed Kids, even I said, I don't feel like entry into the home or the vehicle or the personal space is the point. I think the fear of the encounter is the point, because I also believe they're energetic feeders, energetically vampiric. And many shadow beings definitely are. You know, don't get me wrong. Some are here for our light, our soul. But it's much less common. And it's just that they're looking to feed off of us. The Jinn particularly roam around, you know, between the hours of midnight and 4 a.m., which, you know, obviously the darkest hours for us humans. That's just where they fit in. They have a propensity for dogs. They love dogs. And they would never, or allegedly would never hurt a dog. If you have a dog in your house, you're less likely to be accosted by one or hurt or even attacked by one. The Jinn definitely do attack. I saw them attack my mother with my own eyes and felt so helpless, because I go into other people's houses and get rid of entities there, regardless of what they are, where they came from. I have like a 90, I don't want to toot my own horn. I'll say 97% success rate. And my mother's old home, which she just moved out of, is part of that 3% that I could do nothing for her. And she was just tormented.
Is it maybe because she's too close to you that you need someone else to come in?
I believe I was too, I was too close to the situation. My emotions were always involved. And we did consider having someone else come in, but then she decided to move, so we never did. And we did have a blessing done, which, I mean, I pulled out all the stops. I made black witch salt, which takes 8 months just to make, you know, less than a pepper shaker full, you know. And I used that, and I got everything else out, but this Jinn that was in her attic for some reason. And we also feel that it could have been a big reason why my stepfather passed. We feel as though it were maybe trying to get rid of, number one, the non-believer, the one who would try to talk sense into us or whatever, but also the strongest person in the home, so that it was able to get to my mother. My mother has, she's half Cherokee and half Iroquois, and she definitely has healing abilities that she's never worked with. She has no interest in working with. She kind of lives vicariously through me. But I always wondered if that native connection had something to do with the reason why this thing wanted to torture and torment her so badly.
And how is she now in the new house? Is that going well for her?
It's going so well. You know, nothing scary has happened. She sees things, you know, she sees what she sees. But nothing lower vibrational or evil. Jinn don't usually, again, there are no definites. I can't give definites or definitives, but they don't usually follow a person around. They're usually attached to the land or the property, right? So even the home, if somebody summoned it or inadvertently brought it there, you know, there's a funeral home and a church and a murder house all within, you know, a block from where she lived. So, she's doing great. They don't normally follow.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with author Gemma Jade about her book, Shadow Entities, Sleep Paralysis, and Beyond. It's available on Amazon or wherever books are sold. And you can also follow her on YouTube. Just search Gemma Jade. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No